welcome to another episode of Dating or At Least Trying. My name is Alex.
I'm Daisy.
And today we are joined by
Janessa.
Sorry, guys, we don't have video, so we don't know social cues right now.
We're adjusting.
We're adjusting, guys. But we really wanted to take this week's episode and kind of the upcoming episodes too to discuss everything going on in America and even the world. Obviously, we went from a pandemic, which is still happening, to protests that are happening every single day. And it all kind of started with the death of George Floyd, who was murdered by police. And there's been, I mean, there's so many cases that have happened too. I mean, even just this month, we've heard the story on Breonna Taylor. We've heard the story on Ahmaud Arbery that was, we heard about this month. Tony McDade. So a lot of people are just being murdered at the hands of police. And it's something that I think the country can't stand anymore. And we're not going to be on this podcast talking about dating when all this stuff is going on. So we wanted to take an episode today to really talk about resources, talk about what's going on. And our upcoming episodes will be more educational, but this is one where we really just wanted to discuss resources and what you can do at home. So today, first, we're going to kind of discuss like just the protests going on. So Daisy and I decided to have Janessa as a guest because, I mean, not only is she one of my really, really good friends, but she lives in LA and was going to the protests. So we wanted to have her on. Plus, she's like someone I know who I and everyone considers to be very educated and smart. And I feel like she can share a lot of information with us. So Janessa, why don't you just kind of tell us about your experience like going to the protest?
Yeah, definitely. So I was going to attend the one in Fairfax. So if anyone really heard about the news that afternoon, Fairfax was like trashed by the time it was like 4 p.m. I went right when it began and then left probably like maybe right before it kind of ended. But, and I say ended as in like people stopped walking. But my experience was, it was so peaceful. If anyone's ever, you know, even attended a women's march or pride, it was just that. It was walking and chanting and kind of being in a community together, you know, stopping cars in the street and just kind of doing this thing together where you don't feel, you know, in danger at all. People even came with their kids and there were, you know, elderly people. There was all types of people from all ages and all of that. So I felt, more comfortable because the day prior I knew that there was really violent police force and across the nation for other protests. So I was getting in there kind of nervous and, you know, trying to, just remember, you know, why I'm there. But when I was there, it was completely fine. Right after we left, though, and that same afternoon, around maybe 3 to 4 p.m., like, people started texting me saying that I had went and making sure that I was safe. And then I realized that, you know, there was a burning car, and the police force came in, and they shot people with rubber bullets and just maced everyone. It's insane. So it's crazy to hear people talk about these protests in a way that it's just a riot and it's just, you know, people that just trying to take advantage of, you know, looting stores and all of that. But it's like, if you're actually there and you're actually in it with the right people and the organizations, that's not it at all.
Right. Was that police force there before, like at the point that you were there?
No. So I think when I was leaving on the road already, mm-hmm. I began to see cop cars and like a helicopter. So it was building up to that moment. Mm-hmm. So I think that when the police force like hear about these things, they just immediately go and try to evacuate everyone when it was completely peaceful to begin with.
Was this the same day where they like changed the curfew and they had like 30 to like 40 minutes? Like, let's say they changed it at like 4:21 and I think I saw something online, but the curfew was like at 6 or something. Like, they didn't give people enough time to leave.
I think it was the day after. So it was the Sunday where they made the curfew at like, first it was like, okay, 6 p.m. and then they made it at 5 p.m. So everyone's obviously scrambling. Yeah. And it's just, you know, a way to arrest more black and brown people.
Well, and like corner people into like, you know, there's what, let's say thousands of people in one area and they have to be gone by in 30 minutes, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, are people going to be picking up Ubers? Or are they, you know, how are they going to be getting home? Like it's a setup, honestly. That's all I
feel. Definitely. 100%. I know it's even like Daisy and I live like a mile from where the La Mesa protest was, which happened last Saturday, or I guess, I don't know, like a week and a half after this podcast will be posted. But I just remember I was following like the live stream of it. Cause like, I wish I could go to these protests, but like, we're still in a pandemic and I live with my mom who's 65 and my sister who's immunocompromised. But I was watching the live stream and I was just like, I mean, this is like, I'm watching history be made in literally where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So it was so wild to watch just like hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people like go onto the 8 freeway, like literally one of the biggest freeways in San Diego. And just like, I mean, I was in awe. And then at, I don't know, maybe a few hours later is when like the tear gas started, the rubber bullets, and it's horrible. Mm-hmm. And like, even there was a story of a woman, I believe she's healing now. I think she had been in a medically induced coma, but she was hit by a rubber bullet. She was just peaceful, just standing there taking maybe a photo, and the police went up to her and shot her on her head with a rubber bullet.
When I was watching the live stream too from La Mesa, which it was so surreal because you're, you know, what I were 5 minutes away from where all it was happening at. Yeah. But the amount of people that were like, it was like, you know, just a civilian doing a live stream, but the amount of people that had, you know, were still there that had, you know, either, you know, had concussions and probably didn't realize that they should go get medical help from being hit by rubber bullets, or like, you know, seeing other people trying to help each other because they, you know, had been tear gassed. And it's, you know, when you can watch something and there's video of it going from being peaceful to all of a sudden, you know, there's rubber bullets and tear gas being, you know, thrown out into the crowd. It's like, for what?
Definitely.
You know, like if there was any violence to begin with, why create that? I think that's what starts, you know, people wanting to, you know, how do I say this correctly, but if people are there peacefully, like, why are you going to start, you know, shooting rubber bullets? I don't understand. I think this whole week I've been trying to like wrap my head around like why. Mm-hmm. When I think it's, you know, I know I'm not the only one, you know, sitting here trying to be like, I don't understand, like, these people are peacefully protesting, you know, the protest that was in San Diego a few days ago where there was like 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was a good example of like, people can come together and, you know, to show support, and it doesn't have to be violent.
And right. What's so like fucked too is we're literally in a pandemic and with a sickness or whatever that affects your respiratory system. And the police are out here with tear gas that is going into your respiratory system. I mean, I saw a woman in Ohio, I believe, who had asthma, ended up dying from being like, from the tear gas, and ended up having an asthma attack and going into the hospital and dying. It's like, and then the rubber bullets, I mean, based on everything I've seen, I haven't seen it for myself in person, but the rubber bullets are like metal inside rubber. They're not meant to like be, I mean, people shouldn't be shot at anyway, no matter what it is, but like, these are not meant to be shot directly into the heads of people. And it's like, what's going on is exactly why people are protesting.
Well, and like, did you see, there was a video, it was like a news anchor, and there was two different like news videos that I saw, but one of them was like, there was literally like a police, like an officer shooting the rubber bullets at the lady as she's live on air. And then, you know, there was another one that I saw where they had to, I want to say it was the La Mesa one too, because I was watching it live on TV. They had to stop, they had to cut the air show, the air time, because the video, the cameraman had, he couldn't see.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it literally am speechless when I like try to discuss. And that's why, you know, when we were talking about doing this podcast, I'm like, you know, speechless about what, you know, we're going to say, because it's, there's so many things going on that we're watching, and it's, you know, that there's so much history that's, you know, being, you know, shown right now, but it's also going back to, you know, years and years of, you know, why we're here today. Discussing Definitely. All of this.
Right. I think we really have to realize that this is not new. And I think a lot of people who have been privileged enough to not even need to learn about Black history, or just kind of went with their lives learning about Black history in our history books in school, like, that's not enough. And if we look back at protests in the 60s, or, you know, even the 1800s, like, police violence is a thing, and we can't refuse to believe that America is immune to that. Like, America is a police state, and we see things like that in Israel or South Africa or in the Philippines, and we're like, oh no, like, they're just a corrupt country, and they just, you know, their president or their leader is just kind of killing poor brown, black citizens just because of racism in that country. But that's exactly what's happening here. And I think that people who are against this protest, they're perpetuating all of these ideas. And we're not going to be able to get out of this until we actually, all of us, are free.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Daisy, you actually discussed what's happening in your hometown in Bakersfield a little bit. I want to get into that before we move on, because I mean, it's like this isn't even, how is this real life?
I have tears in my eyes right now just even thinking about it. So I'm from Bakersfield, California, which I am now, I mean, I was already a little embarrassed to admit that in beforehand, but after, you know, seeing what I've been seeing online and, you know, hearing, you know, different stories from people, and, you know, growing up, I knew that Bakersfield was a racist city. That's just something that I think everybody that lives there knows. You might see a Confederate flag on the back of somebody's truck, you know, from time to time, or you know that there's racist people around, and, you know, and not to say like, oh, we just accepted it, but it's known, you know, it's, people refer to it as Trump country. Like, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. But going online and seeing videos, and then, you know, my sister even sent me like a TikTok video, and she was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that this was Bakersfield before I sent it to you. And I'm looking closer in this video, and I realized that, you know, my house that I grew up in was maybe a 5-minute drive from where, you know, it was taking place. Mm-hmm. My best friend Monique, who's been on the podcast before, a beautiful black woman, it's 5 to 10 houses down from where she, you know, she grew up, where her brother currently lives by himself. You know, there was a video of a lady and her husband's trying to drag her back into their house, and she's like saying like, I'll kill you guys. And it's, you know, I don't know who's behind the camera, but it was like a mom and a young girl who were walking back from the protest. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm looking at, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I grew up in around these neighborhoods. Like, this is, you know, where I grew up. And then I'm like, you know, doing more research, like, what's kind of going on over there? Cause there had been protests and, you know, cars driving through the protest, you know, a week and a half ago, but these videos are like in the last few days. And, you know, the local Taco Bell where I, you know, we would go when I was a kid, and it, you know, we would roller skate there from our house. Like, there was literally a protest against the Black Lives Matter protests.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I, you know, I'm watching these videos, and there's videos from different angles, and, you know, I'm like, I feel disgusted to admit, you know, that I lived there, that I grew up there. And I, you know, I feel for my friends and family, you know, people of color that still live there and have to, you know, how are you going to go to the grocery store when you know there's people on the corner protesting against you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was actually a man who was killed. His name was Robert Forbes. And on June 3rd, he was hit by a car. You know, he was protesting. I want to say that they said he was kneeling. Everybody was taking a knee, and they were on one side of the street, and a man, you know, drove his car through basically the crowd. Mm-hmm. And hit him. And there's video of the Bakersfield Police Department, which I want to say, I think I read something that, you know, Kern County is like the number one deadliest, you know, police force in the United States or something like that for like killing people, which that's not surprising. Mm-hmm. But there's a video of the man who hit Robert Forbes standing, next to his truck. There's probably about 3 to 4 Bakersfield Police Department officers standing right there around him. Literally right after this just had happened, and they're letting him smoke a cigarette, and he's like smiling, and he's not in handcuffs. He's not, you know, he's kind of just there. Like, it looked like he's hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. While Robert Forbes is laying on the ground, you know, dying before all of their eyes. And it's, this happened a few days ago. This isn't, you know, a few months ago where, you know, these videos are resurfacing. Like, this is happening right now as, you know, people are out there protesting for, you know, their lives and for the support of, you know, humanity, basically, like, to understand, like, what's going on. And I know I'm watching these videos and it's like, okay, I saw, you know, the Mesa live streams and all that. And that even was just, you know, not shocking, but kind of seeing, you know, how these people are being treated out in the protest. And then you have people that are literally protesting against the protests. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it doesn't get more racist than that. Like, you've got it. I'll send you guys some of the links, but it's honestly sickening. And I fear, like, I texted Monique and I said, hey, like, have you seen this video? This is right down the street from where you live, like, or for where, you know, where you grew up, like, your brother still lives there. And she had no idea. She immediately called her brother to let him know, mm-hmm. For his safety. And I just, you know, it's, you're watching these videos and you're like, is this fake? Like, mm-hmm. this can't be real. Like, there can't be people out there like this that are so sick. And it's honestly just disgusting. And, you know, I've seen a lot of posts from people that I grew up with or friends of friends that, you know, are out there, you know, putting their opinions out there and, you know, trying to discuss with their families or, you know, other people that we grew up with, like, kind of sharing their viewpoints on things. And, you know, I've seen a lot of back and forth between people, and it's like that mindset where it's like, you need to educate yourself, but not only, you need to educate the people around you as well.
Definitely.
And a lot of this stems, I think, from how people in Bakersfield were raised. And, you know, like I said, like, it wasn't surprising to me that there's a lot of Trump supporters in Bakersfield, but, you know, I think now I've seen a lot of people, like, kind of changing their views, which I'm, like, thankful for. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's obviously still a lot of people that aren't, you know, I've seen, there was, Maddie had sent me, my best friend, she sent me a screenshot from somebody's Facebook, and a dad was posting, this is from Bakersfield, that he was embarrassed that he failed as a father because his daughter was out there protesting with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh my God.
I'll have to send it to you guys, but it's a long, you know, Facebook post putting his, like, how he's failed as a parent and his daughter, like, the only thing he thinks he can do now is cut her off financially, and that hopefully one day she'll realize that whatever she's doing is wrong, and, you know, all these things and all this stuff. And, like, you know, there's people commenting "beat her ass" on this post, and, you know, that's one of many posts that I've seen. And, you know, there's, you know, videos of people literally, like, fighting each other. Like, there was a one car, like, turning the corner, and, like, they were, like, you know, Black Lives Matter, they have their posters, and, like, people are literally going up to the car, like, trying to fight them. And, you know, I think right now, two people that are understanding the power of the people and the power of the internet right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many people that have, you know, been in these videos, and people are sharing their information, like, where you work at, what if you're, there's that lady from the video that I was telling you guys on the corner next to Monique's house, she's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, people are finding this information out, and it's, you know, I think more than ever right now, people's actions from what they're doing, it's gonna affect them. And I hope that, you know, hopefully there's change in that community, because it's honestly sickening.
Definitely.
Or I could talk about this all day, about how horrible that place is.
I think it's also generational too, because I'm imagining that these families have been here in their entire lives and never left.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's too where, like, what I have been saying on Facebook from, you know, a lot of my, like, Bakersfield friends, is that it's, you know, it's a lot of older people. You know, if I'm friends with people's parents or grandparents, or, you know, older people that I, you know, people that were, you know, administrators when I was in high school that I'm friends with, that are sharing their views. And I'm like, you know, you have young grandkids, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're probably teaching your ways to. And, you know, Alex and I the other day were just talking about children and just, you know, how, you know, it takes us, once you're to a certain age where you can educate yourself, or, you know, you have the resources that you can get to, you know, either change your viewpoints, understand. But for the first, you know, years of your life, like, mm-hmm. you're learning what your parents are telling you, or what whoever's raising you are telling you. And if they have, you know, racist viewpoints, that's going to carry on. And
yes, definitely.
It's really sad.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's, you know, I also, in addition to parents who have racist viewpoints or don't even know it's racist, like there are a lot of parents right now who don't think it's necessary to be talking about racism with their kids when we, you know, for in, I have drawing from experience being in like an elementary school, and I was in a school where mostly Latinos, and I was the only Asian for the most part. A lot, even like being 6 years old, they learn how to do things like slant their eyes in front of you.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just, it's so important to educate them so young because they're our future. And if we want to end racism, ultimately, that's who we need to be, you know, uplifting.
Definitely. And that's the thing. If you want to raise a kid who's aware of everything going on in the world, you are the driving force, and you have to do it, because like how you said, the slanting of the eyes that the kids would do at the school, at your school, like that's something, if they're not learning that from their parents, that that's not okay to do, and they see their peers doing it, I mean, mm-hmm. they're learning from their peers. So you have to be it's just right now, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, you don't need to post on social, like if you're doing the work. But the fact of the matter is that we're following the people we follow online for a reason. And even if we only have a couple hundred or whatever followers, we are influencers. Each and every one of us has the power to influence others because we do it all the time. So an action item I really want to tell whoever's listening to this, please be having those tough conversations, and please be posting anything that taught you something or that you found informational, because you don't know who else will learn something from it. So I think that's a really important action item for anyone listening to this. It's just, we need to start having those tough conversations. And I was telling Daisy the other day, I mean, I feel like I'm someone who like usually is, I'm always up for a debate, right? Like I love debating, but like,
true,
but like, I'm really trying to make sure I'm saying things as respectful and nice as possible to people who don't agree with me. For example, my family, and I don't mean my immediate family. I mean like cousins and stuff. I mean, I posted in my like family Facebook group an action item, and I said, whoever wants to join this book club with me, let's do it. We should all read together. Let's read the book called White Fragility: Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo. Let's all read it together. We can all discuss. Like, I think it'll be a great way for our family to all get together. And I ended up, two family members like kind of like argued with me about it, which was fine. I was fine to have, I expected kind of pushback. But I had another family member kind of attack my character, which she had done like 2 or 3 weeks ago as well, and called me mean-spirited a bunch of times for asserting an opinion that disagrees with other members of the family. So it's just, I feel like you can't please anyone, but do what you can. And your influence is going to have influence no matter what. Even if they're just thinking about that for the next few days, like they're going to, you know, they're not going to just brush past it. Like obviously they had opinions about it. Now they're thinking. Repetition leads to change. I fully believe, and I fully believe it can. But even just, I mean, like even my mom rented that book from the library because, and this is an action item I'm going to say later in the podcast about a book club and discussions on Zoom. But I mean, my mom got the book and already started reading, and like to hear my mom talk about like white privilege and just things I had never heard her discuss before was incredible. I mean, like literally I cried yesterday, and I can cry again right now because I'm just so proud of her, and I know we're all capable of learning more, and learning is going to be a constant thing the rest of our lives. And I think it's so important, if you haven't already started, to start now.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. My parents came from the Philippines. They don't know a lot about racism out in America. They came here thinking that this is like the perfect country. They can really start a family here and become successful, whatever. And I would try to talk to my parents about these things. When I remember, like, it was a few years ago, and I told my mom that I was thinking about moving out to Koreatown. Mm-hmm. And her first thought was like, is it safe there? There were a lot of, you know, the protests, the LA riots in 1992 and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I tried to, you know, talk to her about, well, why was there riots? Like, there's a valid reason why there were protests. And, you know, historically, the Black community are always killed, whether that's going to be a store owner, a police officer, or whoever it is. And at that point, she just kind of argued with me, and it was really hard to kind of get through to her. But now that they're both seeing all of these protests, you know, globally, my brother actually talked to her about anti-Blackness and how that kind of carries through even in Asian American culture, where, you know, all of our lives, like, I'm a brown Filipino. There are light-skinned Filipinos, they exist, and I also exist. But my parents and my mom always tell me, you know, like, don't go out in the sun for too long, you're gonna get too dark, or like how come you always date like light skin but you're like always like dark, just things like that. And you don't realize until later on, because, you know, you're so conditioned to this, that this is language perpetuating anti-Blackness. And that's what he kind of talked about it with her, and she was definitely more open and kind of realizing all the things that they've said or the things that they've learned that feeds into racism, even if it's not explicit. And at the end of it, you know, like, she understands, she's educating herself, she's watching documentaries, and they even donated to Justice for Breonna Taylor, which is, I think, so momentous for us as a family and as Filipinos who also are, you know, can go into the model minority myth where nothing bad happens to them because they just work and they do their thing and then that's it. They abide, whatever. But now they're kind of breaking out of that shell and seeing what this country is really capable of and the things that we need to change about it.
Definitely. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's so important. And I just feel like everyone, I mean, if you can't protest, which I think given, I mean, the pandemic, please take care of yourself, because there's ways you can make change at home with your family, with friends, you can donate, you can post to your followers, you can educate yourself. I think it's so important. So I kind of wanted to get into just, I mean, the past week, we participated in hashtag Amplify Melanated Voices to make sure to, because oftentimes the whole premise of it was kind of to make sure, because oftentimes, like, the things that are pop culture is white people taking from Black, Indigenous people of color and kind of making it their own. And I feel like it's so important to make sure to amplify Black voices and amplify creators of color, because, like, we're all in this together type thing and we all need to support one another. And so some podcasts I really wanted to highlight, these are all on our Instagram, but I wanted to say it again, the ones that we went through this week, Dear Franny, and that's by dating coach Francesca Hoagie. I'm literally obsessed with her. She was on Survivor and used to be a lawyer and then became a dating coach. Why Won't You Date Me by Nicole Byer. Therapy for Black Girls, which actually Janessa had recommended to me like a year ago, and I finally got into it. So I love good. It. Black Woman Healing Podcast, Keep It, It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders, and NPR's Code Switch. So this isn't just kind of a fad right now. This is something we have to continue on. And I feel like especially dating podcasts, like the popular ones, think of, I don't know, like Call Her Daddy, think of The Girls Gotta Eat. Like oftentimes, I mean, there's another one, Guys We Fucked, I think it's called. It's like often these are hosted by like white women. And obviously like it was just hosted by me, Alex, but then I added Daisy, which is great. But like, we still have to amplify like Dear Franny and Why Won't You Date Me? Because there's people doing, like there's Black creators also doing this work. And mm-hmm. It's not just like white women doing it. So make sure you're not only supporting white women. So now that we kind of discussed that, I want to say one more thing about the book club again. More information will be coming on this sooner, but if you're interested in reading the book, it's called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo. It's literally sold out everywhere, but like if you need help finding it, please DM me. Please DM at Dating or At Least Trying, and I can help you find a copy somewhere because I'm sure there's options. I think I'm going to get a PDF option because it's literally like when I tell you it's gone everywhere, it's like everyone's reading this book right now, which is fantastic. But I'm thinking of kind of breaking it down in the next coming weeks into maybe like four parts with four different discussions over Zoom. So that'll be coming. Keep on the lookout for that. But lastly, I kind of wanted to end this by talking about self-care because that's something I like never do. I'm so bad about self-care. And obviously in a time like this, like we're doing the work, but we also need to make sure we're taking time for ourselves to recoup so we can continue doing the work. And this isn't just like a burnout type situation. So I kind of want to ask like, what are you guys' best ways of self-care?
Right now, this week I was spending a lot of time on social media, you know, reading a lot, watching a lot. And I would, you know, stay up to 1:30, 2 in the morning doing that. Mm-hmm. I would wake up and my heart would feel heavy and I would just feel like I had anxiety and I would wake up and I would feel kind of cloudy in my head and I'd be like, what I was watching and is this real life kind of, you know, mm-hmm. Is it a dream? So I told myself, you know, I gave myself a time cutoff.
Actually.
Yeah. I said 10 p.m., you know, I'm going to try. Some days I haven't been able to follow it, but I've been trying to put my phone down. And if, you know, if I still want to watch something, you know, right now I'm watching 13th, on Netflix, which is a documentary about the 13th Amendment. You know, I'm watching something versus, you know, being on my phone, you know, scrolling through, you know, different things like that. So it's kind of still taking time for myself, but also in that time more, I don't want to say relaxing, but, you know, putting my attention just to one thing, versus just being overloaded with, you know, all the different content that's out there right now. So I think setting a time, you know, a time restriction of like, you know, when to be on social media. And also just, you know, in the morning right now, when I first woke up, like I didn't grab my phone immediately. Mm-hmm. I went outside and I was enjoying, you know, the beautiful day that there is. And so I think, you know, making sure that you give some time for yourself, even if you're just sitting there, you know, enjoying your surroundings. I put on some music that I wanted to listen to while I was eating breakfast and I was trying not to look at my phone. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I've been doing right now.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree. Last week when, news about George Floyd came out, I was on my phone for like 7.5 hours in one day, mm-hmm. which is not okay. So I limited the time on my social media platforms. I totally agree. Like last weekend I felt like I was paralyzed with anxiety about, everything going on in our country, but also thinking about going into a workplace that is full of, people who are against the protests. And I was worried about my own feelings when I go back to work. But you know, I did it. I'm here. Things I think I've been doing lately is just, if I'm not going to be reading about news, I'm just trying to educate myself. I'm reading Freedom is a Constant Struggle by Angela Davis. And this is a book of a couple of interviews and just speeches that she's had. So it's a lighter read, but she does talk about the prison industrial complex and kind of how it affects not only America, but globally in different countries. And trends that we've been seeing happen here, but it's been happening historically everywhere else. We just haven't really been informed about it because of the types of media that we consume. Mm-hmm. And then on a lighter read, I'm also reading Phoebe Robinson's Don't Touch My Hair. She's a comedian that I have been following since 2016 when she did the podcast Two Dope Queens with Jessica Williams from The Daily Show. She's amazing. I love her. She's so funny. And it talks about Black hair politics and kind of like her experience with how it's not just Black women's hair that is kind of taboo or whatever it is in this country. It opens up to a lot of other issues and a lot of oppressive ideas towards the Black community as well. Mm-hmm. And I've also been doing Animal Crossing because that's just what I do. Maintain my island. And just also watching some things. I watched, what was it called? Wait, I wrote it down here. It's, oh my gosh, sorry. Oh, They Gotta Have Us. It's a docuseries. It's only 3 episodes of just the black filmmakers, actors, creators getting into Hollywood and kind of like emerging in the sense of like renaissance. Mm-hmm. And that's been awesome. And I totally love 13th. And I recently watched Selma. Like anything that Ava DuVernay, who is the black female director behind these films, is amazing. I look up to her. And on that note, I was also tried to watch When They See Us, which is really tough to watch.
I was just going to bring that one up right now.
Yeah. Central Park 5, or Exonerated 5, excuse me. It's just really tough to watch, but it's so important.
Did you finish watching it?
I've watched the first episode, and I think that's probably the toughest one, but I still need to get into it.
Yeah, I watched it last summer, and I think I cried the first 2 episodes, and I couldn't stop. It's a very emotional one to watch, and I'm glad it's coming back up. People are educating themselves and watching it, because when I was watching it, I was so emotionally upset and I was just so angry. And then, you realize too, like, this is a true story. Like, this isn't just, some movie that I'm watching that someone, it's fiction, like, or I'm like, someone made it up. Like, it's true. And I was telling a few of my friends from back home, I'm like, it's a tough watch. It really is. But I think you need to take the time, and it tells the story of these children. And I'm not, I don't want to give the story away, because I think everyone should watch it, but it's on Netflix, and I think that's the number one film right now for me that, people are like, I want to educate myself, and maybe they don't want to read, or they've seen stuff on social media. I'm like, take the time to, there's a lot of docuseries out there and documentaries and even movies. She's on Instagram, but it's at @unity_celeste. Mm-hmm. She has the BLM movement films and series to watch, and she breaks it down by platform. So whether you have Google Play, Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, there's stuff on there for you to watch.
Definitely. Yeah, I was going to say, just going back to self-care real quick before we end, like, for me, I've been blading because I love rollerblading. So much fun. I like went downhill for the first time yesterday.
Oh my God.
But I just want to say too, because I think this is a note, one of you said it, I'm sorry, I forget who kind of went into it a little bit, that made me think of this, but like, educating yourself can also, like, it doesn't, like, supporting Black creators and supporting Black people who are making podcasts or movies or books or whatever they're doing, like, support them too. It doesn't have to just be educational. So, like, for me, self-care yesterday was, like, taking a nice shower, like, shaving, because I have not shaved my vagina in a long time, like, shaving, like, listening to Why Won't You Date Me, like, by Nicole Byer. Like, literally, that's self-care for me. And you can, like, you don't just have to support Black people if it's educational to you. Like, please support all the time. So that's kind of just something I wanted to say before we end it. But, I mean, do either of you have any last words or anything?
I wanted to share, which I'll share it on the Dating or At Least Trying stories, but Glow Recipe on Instagram, they, in my free time, I love, like, beauty and lifestyle and, or makeup and all things like that. So I was trying to figure, what could I do? Like, I've spent a lot of my money on makeup, but they have a list of beauty and wellness brands that are Black owned. Mm-hmm. So I've been going through, there's more than 100 that they've listed out, and going through there, and I'm like, I've donated my money, but also what businesses can I support? Or if there's products that I use, what can I switch over? That's also supporting a Black owned business. So there's, no matter what you're interested in or things like that, there's, I know we shared, there's also different restaurants in town or in any city that are Black owned that you can support. So
definitely
do a quick Google search and you'll find a resource out there with lists.
Yeah. I would just say, just to diversify everything in your life, whether it's your friends and the things that you watch, your books, the, where you buy things, like, it should not be a trend right now where we're like, I'm going to buy this one thing from this one Black owned shop. Like, this should be something that you need to think about all the time, forever, long term. And on that note, thinking about book clubs, and I also have like a mini book club with my friends too, but buying from a Black-owned bookstore. Mm-hmm. I know I bought a couple from Semicolon in Chicago, and I just saw a post they made yesterday where their consumers just have increased tremendously, and they've been able to like purchase like laptops for their 3 or 4 employees, which is amazing. Yeah. But yeah, so I just say, you know, just listen to Black voices, uplift them, and just do anything that you can in your daily life to just, you know, end this racism, this racist remarks and things that you're used to in your daily life.
100%. Well, thank you so much, Janessa, for being on this episode. I know this wasn't as lighthearted as usual, but I think it was important. And I think I'm so glad you were on, because I thought you were the first person I thought of for this episode. So thank you so much for being a guest. This has been another episode of Dating or At Least Trying. I'm Alex.
I'm Daisy.
And today we were joined by
Janessa.
Thank you all for listening. Bye.